This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you. Squad. Cleveland.
Let go. Squad up. We coming for them rings. Squad up. Looking for James. LeBron James bringing the heat.
Ooh! And Matthew Dellavedova, the entire time he knew he was going to hit LeBron James. What a weak side dive from LeBron James to get the ball and catch it and just attack the rim. For them rings, we coming
for them rings. Cleveland, so what's up? Got the squad with me, let's run. We go hard and we ball hard, they fall hard, man, it's fun. Hands up, you feel me? Hands up, you feel me? Baked out nuts, staked out nuts, staked out nuts.
Dellavedova and LeBron have been quite the combo here in quarter number two.
Yeah, Deli does a nice job, and you can see he's coming down the lane, and you don't want to get in the way of that one. That one was big time. He liked that one.
All kind of sassy on that one.
We do it well. We ball so hard. We ball so hard. Oh, can't you tell we put in work? We never stop. We never quit. We want them rings. We want them ships. We want to win.
All right, this is Chris. We're here with another episode of Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. Right after the Cavs just beat the Detroit Pistons 107-90. With me today to go over the game and do a recap is comedian Sam LaTourette. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It was fun to watch the Cavs win a game that they're supposed to win.
They made the first game a little too exciting.
Right. And this one for like the first half too. I mean, it seemed I actually bet $25 against the Cavs today. I really thought they'd lose the game and I'd be a much richer man. So
did you make that bet before or during the game?
Oh, like way before, about 2 hours before the game.
So you just had a bad feeling. So what did you expect to happen tonight?
It wasn't a bad feeling. I just expected the Cavs to be outplayed by the much younger, faster Detroit Pistons.
And yes, they are. And probably it's safe to say better coached.
Well, right. I mean, it's Stan Van Gundy, who's been coaching for, I don't know, 20 years now, versus Tyronn Lue, who was a member of the last team that beat LeBron. The last Stan Van Gundy coach team to beat LeBron, the Orlando Magic in 2009.
Yeah, a team with known steroid user Rashard Lewis.
Oh, whoa, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, everybody seems to forget he was suspended for the first 10 games of the next season.
Oh, right. What?
That might have had something to do with that. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
He was never an all-star again after that either.
Wait, reason. He was an all-star?
Twice, once in Seattle and once in Orlando.
Okay, yeah. No, I remember the years in Seattle, I guess. But
And, of course, Hedo Turkoglu also got busted for PEDs about a season and a half after that.
Really?
Yeah, but I think by then, maybe it was like 3 years. It might have been when he was on the Clippers, but he did get busted at one
point. Okay, well, yeah. But at that point, like, Hedo Turkoglu had to be like 45 years old. Like,
yeah, he was one of those guys that came over and he was like supposedly 24.
Right, right.
Nobody knew how old he really was.
Yeah, they never checked his birth certificate. I get it.
Do you think the Cavs are going to win this series? I mean, it's easy to say now when they showed the statistic that said Detroit's never come back from 0-2 and Cavs have never lost one up 2-0.
Right. No, 100% they're going to win the series. I don't think the Cavs will even drop a game to this team at this point. I mean, I wish they would have tonight because I'd be like $200 richer. But
that's bad karma. You don't bet against the team you root for.
But why not?
That's like the Pete Rose philosophy.
I guess, but like it's a way to make money, you know. So
it is a way to make money. Luckily, you didn't cash in. Yeah. I thought it was interesting how little Tristan Thompson played this game.
Well, no, I guess. But, I mean, if you don't need him, you don't need him. I'd rather see Channing Frye out there. I'd rather see Kevin Love at the five. I don't know. Small ball makes sense against this team.
Which is weird because Drummond might be, the best center in the NBA?
Well, I mean,
Boogie Cousins?
No, he's, like, the biggest, baddest center in the NBA. But once you put out, like, two small ball players against him, that kind of, like, puts that to the side and nullifies him. Like, you don't, I don't know.
No, no, I understand completely. And J.R. Smith was pretty great.
Yeah, what was he, like seven? Did he hit, like, what? No, he's 5 for 11, maybe? I don't
know. No, he was 7 of 11 for three, okay. And 7 of 13 from the field.
Oh, okay, okay. So he only made three-point shots, is what you're telling me.
Yes, he ended with 21 points and 4 personal fouls, which seems to be high.
Oh, no, that's pretty fantastic, though. Like, no, JR, I just told my buddy tonight that JR Smith might be the NBA Finals MVP.
That's the thing. JR Smith could easily be the NBA Finals MVP, or he could somehow get suspended during any series at any time.
Right. Or, like, somehow he'd be the first guy to get traded during the NBA playoffs somehow.
He got put on waivers, yeah, during the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's obvious that TNT and ESPN, whoever's filming, knows every time there's a foul called against J.R. Smith or anything even close, they immediately go to a close-up of him, just waiting to see what he's going to do to react. There was a play today where Reggie Jackson and him got tangled up, and they just left it on J.R. Smith
for
30 seconds after that.
Just waiting for him to, like, punch, like, a lady in the audience or, like... It's like, give, like, 3 middle fingers. Like, J.R. Smith's going to grow another hand, just, like, flick off the camera. Like,
he just appears just in the middle, like, exactly. like a Wolverine of middle fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That...
This series is good, though, because this is the one coach I could see J.R. Smith punching during the series is Stan Van Gundy.
Just choke him out like Latrell Sprewell in the
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got that high pitched voice too, where he's like, Stan Van Gundy, he sounds normal when he yells. He's like, So you could see him just being like, that was a technical, and then JR just turn around and bam, wow, right in the face.
Right, yeah.
That'd be worth it. The next two games, you know, and they play the Hawks next round, they could beat him without JR Smith.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Really?
Maybe not.
Really?
I can't tell if the Hawks are good or not. The Cavs beat them twice towards the end of the season. Okay. One game was a blowout, and the other game went to overtime. I can't tell. I mean, those two games, it's the last week of the season. It really means nothing for the playoffs.
Well, I mean, like, last year, the Hawks were, like, way better than anybody expected them to be, right? Like, they won 60 games, and, like, that'll never happen again. And
yeah, they won 60 games and got swept by the
right.
Cavs,
yeah,
in the Eastern Conference.
Blown out, yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they even make it to, like, the next round of the playoffs. I don't know. Like,
well, I think they're going to beat the Celtics. The Celtics have looked pretty bad.
Well, right, they're missing Avery Bradley, and, like, they've lost two games now. So, like, yeah, it'll. So,
and it seems like last year, I don't know if they saw the Cavs-Celtics series, but last year the Cavs just put Iman Shumpert on Isaiah Thomas after the first game,
right,
and he did basically nothing the rest of the series. And they put Kent Bazemore, maybe I'm somebody else, but they put a bigger guy on him, and he's done absolutely nothing the whole series.
What are your matchups for the next round of the playoffs, I guess?
If I'm going to go based on what I've seen so far after everybody playing about two games, I think the Cavs will win.
Right.
I think Atlanta will win. Okay. And then I think Miami will win because they've been playing Charlotte both times. And I think, honestly, Indiana will beat Toronto.
Okay. Okay. No, I really think Indiana is going to win that series too. Like, I want them to win that series. That's
too.
That's my, like, underdog pick, I guess.
Like, Kyle Lowry is a great player, but
yeah.
They don't have anybody that can guard Paul George, but they can kind of guard Kyle Lowry,
yeah,
the Pacers can.
Right, right.
So it kind of gives them that advantage.
Yeah.
And then the rest is pretty perfunctory. I think Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Clippers, Golden State.
Right, right. I mean, who do you think is going to win it all? There's my new question, I guess.
I mean, this is a Cavs podcast, so I should say the Cavs, but I mean, unless something weird happens, it's probably going to be Golden State again.
Unless something weird. Like, what kind of weird thing do you imagine happening? Where
I don't know. Two of their best three players having season-ending injuries.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah, like Tonya Harding shows up and, like, busts out somebody's knee. And
I wouldn't be surprised if when the game, if it's Cavs Warriors in the finals, if when it's in Cleveland, game three, some grizzled old guy comes out of the stands and just takes out Steph Curry.
But who? Like, there's who would do that? Like,
there's got to be like a local, somebody local. You know who would do it? Is there's a local guy who's a comedian part time who also has a DJ business named Hot Carl.
Holy shit!
I could totally see him wearing a DJ Save My Life T-shirt and coming out of the stands and just taking out Steph Curry for the notoriety. Because I mean, that's not like a felony or something. It would still be a misdemeanor. It's no, just assault.
No way. That's got to be felony assault. Like, what are you talking about? They arrest you. They arrest you if you come onto the floor during the game. If you come onto the floor and assault like the greatest player that's ever played the game, that's got to be that's
the greatest player that's ever played the game.
100%.
You think?
100%.
I can't go that far.
Really? Like, no, Steph Curry has reinvented the game of basketball this season, and I'll stand by that 100%. Like,
he's the best shooter I've ever seen, and he's like a legit good shooter, not a guy like Reggie Miller who just makes big shots.
Yeah, right. No.
But no. I don't know. I sound like an old guy, but I still think I would take Jordan over.
Oh, no. No. Dude, they're talking about like making a 4-point shot like because of this guy.
That's true. Here's the thing though. I'm a Cavs fan. They're still one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the league. I can't get on board with this Steph Curry thing. I hate the guy personally.
Why? Why?
Why? I hate him. I hate his whole act. I hate the fact that he's Mr. Modest. And I really hate the fact that his wife looks just like his mom did 25 years ago. That's creepy to me.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. I understand that, I guess. But
it's like, come on, dude. You're basically trying to fuck your mom. That's all there is to it.
No, but if you can't get on board, then I don't think you're actually a basketball fan. I don't know.
I am a partisan. I never lied about that one bit. I'm a homer through and through. He's great, but to me, I like basketball players who are like bigger than me,
right,
stronger than me,
yeah,
and much faster. He's probably faster.
But no, I'm sure he's faster.
Yeah. But he's not stronger or bigger, so.
No, he's not, but he's way better at basketball than you'll ever be.
That upsets me.
Right. That's why you don't like him.
I feel like you're a psychologist right now.
No, you're just like a guy. So, like, of course that guy in the NBA is, like, way better than you. Like,
well, yeah, but, I mean, every guy in the NBA is way better than me. Right. Or 99.9999% of everybody.
Wait, who in the NBA is a worse basketball player than Chris Klemm? There's a new.
Oh, I got to scan to see who got picked up from a D-League contract. Okay. But I think one-on-one I could take John Stockton's son.
Really?
Well, I mean, one-on-one on a full court, he'd kill me. But
you think
I could back him down into the post. Fun.
I was hoping your answer would be Adam Morrison. But like, he's probably better than you two. I don't know.
No, Adam Morrison's much better. He's taller.
Right. Is he?
And he's 6'8", yeah.
Okay. Dude, Chris Klemm, I've never even met you. It's so awesome. It's so awesome I'm on your podcast right now. Because like me and you have never been in person. We've never met each other face-to-face, so it's cool.
I know, but we have many mutual friends, and now we're virtually meeting.
Right, it's fun. It's a good time. And I hope the Cavs win this whole thing. That'd be really cool. I don't see it happening again.
We totally ignored the fact that the Cavs played much better with Dellavedova on the
floor.
Right,
no, they talked, yeah. No, what, Deli had like, what, 8 assists? They kept talking about Deli during the game.
He was plus 25.
Okay. That makes
sense. And it looked like that watching the game.
No, it made a lot of sense. I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about – do you think we should trade Kyrie Irving at the end of the season? You've heard that rumor, right? Like LeBron's going to leave and go back to Miami.
No, I mean, I've heard the rumor, but I haven't heard it from anybody that I like necessarily believe or whose opinion I respect.
Right.
Well, I mean, not, it's always an option, obviously, that he could leave. But if he does leave, I don't see what the point of trading him is. Now, I could see him coming back and them trading him for, like, Chris Paul, because I could see the Clippers accepting that, and that would help both teams in a way. But I never was on board for trading him until the last 2 months, where the whole subtweet thing happened, and it's just always annoying. But this time it seems like Kevin Love has really picked up his play the last 3 weeks, like earning that LeBron seal of approval.
Well, right.
And Kyrie Irving hasn't. So now I'm like, well, I think I could totally see him being traded now.
No,
and I don't even know if I'm against it anymore.
No, you never get – at this point, you don't get rid of Kevin Love. Like, I mean, he's the stretch four that he plays the game the way we need him to play the game.
Yeah.
But Kyrie Irving's definitely replaceable, and that's crazy.
It's just so weird to see the guy who was, like, the only reason I was watching the games for 2 years.
Right, exactly, right. He's the one that – fuck him. Like, I don't know. Trade him for, like, Ricky Rubio and spare parts, and, like, I'll still watch the Cavs.
Well, yeah. I watched every game when Deion Waiters was a major contributor.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I don't think we're the fan base they have to be worried about losing.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I think about 18,000 of those people filling the queue are the ones I got to worry about.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bad couple years.
It was real bad, but it was fun.
No, do you remember when when Manny Harris was our starting shooting guard?
I couldn't forget it. Manny Harris, the only person to be on the disabled list because he burned himself on a cryo chamber.
What?
He went to the Nike facility in Portland, and he went to like some cryotherapy chamber. And I guess he's so stupid that he thought it would be cold and he could just touch the outside of it. But it overheats, you know, all the energy going through it. And he burned his foot on the edge because he just tried to like step off of it.
Yeah.
No, he was out for like 2 weeks on the disabled list. And then the Cavs cut him about 6 weeks after that because they're like, this guy's not good enough to be this stupid.
Oh, that's dumb. No, Manny Harris is one of my favorite players that's ever played for the Cavs.
Oh, really? Of all time?
Yeah, all time. I mean, it's him. Well, all like of all time, it's...
This is good. I before we go, this is good. I always like finding out whose people's favorite and least favorite Cavs are.
Okay. Well, my least favorite Cav, that's a good question, is Mark Price. But
really?
Least favorite.
Like, what do you have against Mark Price? That's a lot of people's favorite.
No, I just feel like he's overrated, you know?
Like, I used to think he was overrated, but now I think people went against that so much he's underrated again. I mean, he was the only Cavs player to be first team all NBA before LeBron.
Right, right, right. And you know, he's like one of the best free throw shooters of all time too, but
I respect that you don't like him.
No, I really don't. My favorite Cavs player of all time is Donyell Marshall.
My cousin bragged to me, he was working for a moving company in Cleveland, okay, about helping Donyell Marshall move into his house.
Really?
This was a while ago, but he's like, oh man, I met Donyell Marshall. That dude's big. He's cool as hell. We shot baskets in his driveway.
Well, I mean, Donyell Marshall has the Cavs record for most three-pointers in the game. He is tied for the NBA record. He's got 12 three-pointers in the game.
I mean, Donyell Marshall, history would look on him much more favorably if he wasn't such a high draft pick, because he stuck around the NBA for a long time.
Yeah, right.
But he was like the third pick in the draft or something.
Well, right. But he's got an NBA record. So, I mean, that justifies that pick, right?
My least favorite Cavs player of all time, it's Jeremy Pargo.
Oh, Jeremy Pargo.
Watching him play was a nightmare. He took so many shots. They were all horrible. He was bad, but he stuck out so much more than a Donald Sloan, because Donald Sloan would disappear because he wasn't that good. But Jeremy Pargo was so bad that you could never not notice him.
Wait, who is the worst Cavs player of all time? That's what we're talking about, I guess. But who is the actual worst Cavs player of all time?
The actual worst is tough, because there's so many guys like Larry Kettner. That guy did absolutely nothing. I was thinking of Yogi Stewart. That might be the worst player.
I have no idea who Yogi Stewart is.
His real name was Michael Stewart. He was horrible.
Yeah. No, he sounds horrible.
That's who I'm going to go with. Although it was probably somebody in the early 80s, because they were so bad then.
Right, right. That's at least that. It wasn't even least favorite. It's just, that's the worst Cavs player of all time.
So Daniel Marshall is just your favorite for the threes?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's tied for the NBA record. Of course he has to be my favorite. Who is your favorite Cavs player? Besides LeBron. No, fuck you.
Zydrunas Ilgauskas all time.
That's so stupid. Why?
My favorite player besides Zydrunas Ilgauskas is Sean Kemp. And I loved that late 90s Cavs team.
Right.
Zydrunas Ilgauskas, before he got hurt, moved like a deer, man. That guy could shoot, he could dribble, he could run, and then he couldn't do the running part after he came back.
Right.
But I remember, I always liked big guys, too.
Well, of course, but like, you're a big guy. But like, no, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, his feet were broken. Like, that man will never, he could never be a center in the NBA. His feet were broken.
Well, his feet weighed like 17 pounds.
Right, they weigh more than I do. Like, I mean, like, so of course, like, he can never, but you got to be agile. Like,
well, now he couldn't be.
No.
I mean, I couldn't imagine him playing against the Warriors in the series.
Never.
When it was still some big guys around, it was, he was an all-star twice. You know, they had guys like Shaq and Yao and Dikembe was still going. They had some big monsters still. And
right.
I get now, aesthetically, his game might not fit or be pleasing, but the dude was money from 18 feet, and the fact that he came back after 4 foot surgeries is just incredible to me, especially because Brad Doherty, who was my favorite player as a younger child, never came back at all and just took the payout to sit on the bench and never play basketball again.
Brad Doherty is a sellout, is what you're saying.
Oh, I don't like Brad Doherty now because he's finally covering basketball for ESPN instead of NASCAR racing. No matter who they are talking about, he finds a way to make it about the Cavs and to somehow diss them. The guy is very bitter about the fact that he's been trashed by so many people in the organization over the last 20 years.
Well, of course he's been trashed, though. Like,
if I paid a guy one of the biggest contracts in the league and he gets a back injury that most doctors said he could come back from and is just decides he's done.
Yeah, he says, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. He was 27 years old. He wasn't like some ancient guy.
Yeah, it's absurd. I'm 29. Like, no thanks. I'd rather just not play basketball anymore. And just
he got, what, like $110 million out of it. So I get it.
Right.
I get why he's like, I don't care. But come on, man, have a little bit of heart. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up with the Cavs victory?
Final thoughts about the Cavs victory. I hope LeBron James like blows his knee out so I can win a lot of money betting against the Cavs.
And I hate you so much.
Right. And then I hope Steph Curry blows his knee out somehow. Like, I really want like Steph Curry to go up against Lance Stephenson in some kind of like weird second round matchup. Because I feel like Lance Stephenson's the only person who would actually like beat up Steph Curry.
I agree with that 100%. But I watched that Grizzlies-Spurs game last night, and I was sitting on my couch thinking to myself, I'm probably the only person in America outside of Memphis or San Antonio watching this game right now. It was so boring.
Yeah, no, you're wrong. I mean, I watch it too, but you're... Yeah.
So you're just losers like us.
Yeah, you're right that it was really boring, but yeah.
It was just rough, and they tried. They tried. God bless them.
I mean, the first round of the playoffs. Like, this is, I feel like this is the best first. This is the best first round of the playoffs in a long time. I mean, I don't know. The 1 versus the 8 seeds are a lot of fun, and then the 2 and 7 seeds are a lot of fun. And
I just wish Utah could have snuck in, because I think they would have definitely given Golden State a better game.
Okay. No, yeah, Rudy Gobert and like that. No, the Utah team's fun, but
I don't think they had a chance, obviously.
Oh, right.
I just can't see, like, Game 3, if they end up losing, I just can't see James Harden really bringing it all for Game 4 in a meaningless game like last year with the Bucks and the Bulls. They were down 3-0 and they took it to Game 7.
Ah, right. Well, no, before we go, finals pick, who wins officially?
Golden State.
Okay. Right. Good. I
I can look beyond my The only team I truly hate is, besides Golden State, it's the Raptors.
Okay, yeah, they're terrible. We the North, it's stupid.
But Golden State, I don't see... When people say San Antonio can beat them, I think they're out of their mind. And I don't think the Cavs can beat them either.
No.
But hey, maybe Steph breaks his ankle. In which case, I changed my mind completely, obviously.
No, I mean, I don't see... from the East, well, new question, like, who comes out of the East? Because I don't think the Cavs are going to make it all the way to the finals. I don't.
Who do you think's going to beat them?
The Raptors are going to lose. I don't know. I feel like the Pacers might beat them in seven in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But... I think the Pacers have a better shot than anybody. A lot of people are on Miami to upset them, but I don't think Miami's really that good. It's just they're playing at both them and Charlotte play at a pretty decent pace. Miami's just better. They're better shooters. But I don't see Atlanta. I don't see if anybody does, it's Indiana. But I don't think it's going to be as dominating as last year, minus the Bulls series where they just rolled for 8 of the 12 games. But I do think the Cavs will go to the finals. And that's not even me being a homer. I've watched enough games this year, and I don't see the other teams being able to beat them. Maybe Indiana,
right?
I guess.
Right. No, Indiana. I don't know. That's my pick, I guess.
I think Toronto. The one thing that this series against Detroit will help the Cavs is that Kyrie is a sieve on defense, and he's horrible. And all these quick point guards give him trouble, but Reggie Jackson has given him trouble the last two games, and they won, and then they won by a lot tonight. So obviously Kyle Lowry is better, Jeff Teague's better, but George Hill isn't. So
fair enough.
And Dragic, you know, he's good, but no, so that's where I stand. I think Dragic is was much he just hasn't looked right playing for Miami. I don't know. Thanks, Sam, for coming on.
I do my best. And it's been nice to meet you for the evening, Chris.
You're welcome. Maybe we can do this again, hopefully, in the next round.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
If they haven't been eliminated from you betting on them.
Right. No, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone because of me. And
I will blame it on you if they lose.
I hope so. Most people do. So.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you, man.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.